Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Of course, once we're done with the live shows, we post the podcast at stevejonesshow.com, as well as iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. If you listen to us on iTunes, do not hesitate to leave us a review. Sean Carey back in with you. Thanks to Chris Elio and Chad Hirschberger for taking care of things while I was out last week. And Steve, as we speak, on his way into the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Be with you live till 5. I have late day news roundup. Matt Catrillo at the anchor desk this afternoon. And then for a bit tonight, we'll have CBS Sports Radio till 9:35. The Phillies tonight out in San Diego. That's a 10-10 first pitch tonight here on WKOK. Phillies just dropped 3 of 4 to the Mets, capped off yesterday by a 6-2 loss. San Diego will turn to Travis Wood tonight as he tries to find his legs. Wood came over to the Padres from the Royals in a late July trade, but after three starts, he is only 1-1 with a 6.19 ERA. Jared Eichhoff, 3-0 lifetime against San Diego. He'll be on the bump tonight for the Fightins. He has allowed no more than three earned runs in each of his past four starts. That's a first in his career. Eichhoff pitched to a 3.04 ERA over close to two dozen innings during that span. He's coming off one of his best outings of the year. He threw a season-high 6 2/3 and surrendered two runs on nine hits against the Braves last Wednesday night. He had no walks and six strikeouts while earning his third straight decision. So Eichhoff is 3-7, Wood 2-4 tonight here on WKOK. 9:35, we'll be on deck with Jim Jackson, and then 10:10 with L.A. and Scott Fransky here on WKOK. NFL preseason continues. Eagles led their first preseason home game at the Link on Thursday night against Buffalo. And you'll be able to hear that over on Eagle 107 at 107.3. Pregame at 6, kick at 7 with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick. Steelers will play on Sunday afternoon, a 4 o'clock kick at Heinz Field against the Falcons. Countdown to kickoff will start at 2 over on 100.9 The Valley. Steelers coming off a 20-12 win over the Giants on Friday night at MetLife Stadium. Well, college football has lost yet another all-time coach. Former Arkansas coach Frank Broyles passed away today at the age of 92. Broyles had been suffering from Alzheimer's, an illness that also took his wife in 2004. The legendary coach was hired by the Razorbacks to lead the program starting in 1958. Coached in Fayetteville until 76, winning a national championship in 1964. He spent 57 years, total years, working at Arkansas, also serving as AD and as a fundraiser. Statement from the Broyles family: we wish to express our heartfelt gratitude to all those who helped contribute to his charmed life. Whether you were one of his players, coaches, colleagues, or friends, a Razorback fan, or a fellow caregiver, you were an integral part of his fairy tale story. To his family, he was quite simply our hero. So again, Frank Broyles passing away at the age of 92. Story by Ben Kirschval of CBS Sports. Had Ben on the show a few months back as we were talking Big 12 football. And we had him on a couple of days. Yes, he was on a couple of days after, it was either a day or two after Bob Stoops announced his resignation from Arkansas. So, and I remember Ben said, yeah, have me back on anytime. So I think we will be on that end of the olive branch and get back in touch with Ben as we ramp up our college football conversation. Week 3 of practices set to go for Penn State. September 2nd will be the 2017 opener against Akron here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with, of course, Steve Jones and Jack Ham. And it'll be next week. Next Monday will be the return and season premiere of Inside Penn State Football Athletics, the daily 3-minute feature that Steve hosts and anchors. And then, of course, a week from Thursday night will be the initial Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin from just down the hill from Beaver Stadium. Of course, that'll be the Thursday night 6:05 show. So it's getting closer, getting closer. You can get in touch with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. And our toll-free line is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. We're also a few days away from the beginning of the Little League World Series. That'll begin on Thursday at the Complex in South Williamsport. We have been in contact with ESPN. We're hoping to have join us later this week, Jessica Mendoza, who, of course, is the booth analyst for Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, and she will be in Williamsport to cover quite a few of the games at the Little League World Series, which will get rolling later this week. By the way, the Mid-Atlantic team representative for our region is New Jersey. New Jersey made it out of the Mid-Atlantic bracket just a few days ago.
You're back.
We are back.
Unbelievable.
Brought a cold back with me, but other than that, we're doing fine.
Seriously, on behalf of management, we'd given up on you. So, I mean, it's... Well, did you have a good time? You and Deb have a good anniversary?
We had a wonderful anniversary, and the only drawback that I have is we were in Pittsburgh on Thursday, and Earth, Wind, and Fire was in Pittsburgh on Thursday. I was trying to parlay an opportunity to score tickets and get to the show, but didn't work out. We actually spent a good part of the day on Thursday. We were at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History and the Art Museum on Forbes Avenue, just a stone throw away from the University of Pittsburgh campus. So by the time we got out of there, there's just no way we could have done a concert after that. It's been too long of a day. If I was 31, I probably could have pulled it off, but, you know.
Just buy a CD. Now, remember years ago, I don't know how many years, there were all these rumors about Rick Neuheisel being in State College. We saw Rick Neuheisel at the tavern.
Oh, yes. I do remember that.
I can tell you that if you thought you saw Rick Neuheisel in a restaurant in State College, say this morning, I can assure you in no uncertain terms that that was Rick Neuheisel.
Oh, nice.
I talked to Rick for a while today. He and Chris Childers are here doing their Sirius XM camp tour. So I talked to them for a while. Their producer is Mike Garvin. And Garv is a Penn State grad who took my class 7 years ago.
Well, that was great. You had a chance to reconnect with Rick. And when you were on vacation last month, yes, we had to replay the Neuheisel interview from May. Oh, man, that's top three.
We talked about that. And I told him the Mike Conforto story. He got a kick out of that one. But yeah, he's talking about going over to see Sue, which is nice. I said, go ahead. I saw Sue yesterday, so. You know what you should have given your wife for your anniversary?
Do tell.
I know this guy that makes these candle holders.
Two hearts, just one thought, flame. Two hearts, one just, flame. Yep.
Just thought I'd mention it.
Yes.
Great anniversary gift. Perfect. And I think for you, the price is right.
Absolutely.
Maybe right up your alley.
Well, that's in my lane, no doubt about it.
So, you're back.
Great to be back. Got quite a few of the podcasts from last week's shows. Of course, you can catch up as well. If you miss any of our live shows, just go to stevejonesshow.com or go to iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Check out our shows. We encourage you to subscribe so you don't miss any of them.
In fact, I can quote Deb as you were listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Haven't you suffered enough?
And then she whispers, "You're on vacation."
Now, you know what? Now, I was good about that on vacation. Now, I told you, you were like, "Oh, I don't want to bother you." And of course, I told you, you can do anything, whenever you want.
Yeah. I didn't go too crazy. Just texted you a few times. No big deal. Nothing urgent.
Yeah, but I told you you can go anytime you want.
Right.
Right? That's a little bit different.
But I waited till late morning, early afternoon. It wasn't anything like 10, 11 at night. I would not do that. That's common courtesy.
But I said no to every interview. I said, not this week. I was actually good about it. Now, I'm paying the price this week, but I mean...
Yeah, I had a hit list I had to tackle when I got in this morning. Hopefully, I'll be caught up by, fingers crossed, Wednesday. So, that's all good. Mm. All good.
Just Wednesday. That's good.
Yeah.
And we have no show Wednesday, so I'll make it easier for you.
That is correct.
We got Matt Leon, by the way, today. We'll talk with him. At some point, we're going to start getting Joe Susan back on the show.
We will do that for sure. The suit was just telling me right before airtime. He was at the practice. He was at the practice on Saturday.
Let's start the sentence over again. And what did he tell you about practice?
Well, it got cut off. They had a storm come through, so the practice was cut short. So then he was he was kind of bristling a little bit. Not that he considered it as a wasted trip, but he's just hoping to get more out of it by seeing a full practice.
Well, at least he wanted to go as opposed to the vacation days he took.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's another story. Next week taking some time off. But yes, I understand. Got to get the kid to college. That only taking the kid to college, that's a one time only thing. You only become a freshman once. And I got to looking at next week's schedule. There's a Phillies game next Thursday. So I got to the wheels were churning upstairs and thinking, yeah, okay, so if we're going to do the high school football roundtable, we'd have to move it to Wednesday. And without hesitation, he goes, "I'm off Wednesday."
Of course.
I said, well, let's work something out. See if we can put something together. So,
well, we can't do it Tuesday. There's no show Tuesday either next week.
You are correct. I believe there is a Phillies doubleheader. There's a makeup game with the Phils and Miami, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a day-nighter.
Yep.
Down in Miami, I think.
Yeah,
but it is with Miami.
I know it's the Marlins, but...
Yeah.
So he's taking Wednesday off.
Wednesday, Thursday.
He's taking Thursday off.
Yeah.
He put it for a vacation day Friday, and he's got Saturday, Sunday off.
Well, he pulled the Friday back. I said, okay, let's clear the air. When are you off next week? He goes, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay.
Well, if I had as much public pressure on me... I would have also said I was working Friday. The only play-by-play guy I know that finally gets back into the... It's like Mike Tirico saying, "Nah, I think I'll take the Olympics off." Okay.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You just got the gig. Wait a minute. Exactly.
Finally gets Thursday night football. Nah, I'm off this week. I got to take my kid to college. No. Where do we find these people? I mean, honestly, people think we invent this. They have no idea how real this is.
Yeah, we're not embellishing anything.
Exactly. He put in for a vacation day for Friday. As soon as we were told this, you and I looked at each other like, what the heck's he doing? I mean, I don't mean to be more aware of his schedule than he is, but evidently we are. I think what's happened here is he is so wrapped up in his son going to college for the first time. I think that's become an all-consuming thing. Fair enough.
Oh, and if I was a dad and if my son was, or son or daughter was going to college, oh, I would definitely be excited as well. So who am I to judge?
I drove myself out. So I did. Got in the car, drove 5 hours, 6 hours. I drove myself out. Pretty simple.
So you guys then had the driveway moment.
I waved.
Yeah. Now there's a certain car commercial I've seen on TV the last few weeks where it has the kid, now an adult, heading down the driveway
in the Subaru with Mo the dog.
That's the
Is
one.
That it?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Adorable. Yeah, I drove myself. I waved as I left. Say, I'll be back in 6 weeks. Okay. To visit. No, I did. I drove myself. Now the suit's out there taking suit light. You know. And a Lamborghini. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Four city blocks of new Fords. Over 40,000 trucks sold. SMC is where you want to be. At Sunbury Motors, you can choose from over 100 new Ford trucks with discounts as high as $13,500. 2017 Ford F-150s are priced as low as $24,419.
See why one is sold every 43 seconds.
There goes another one. Choose from over 60 new 2017 Ford Escapes, and they start at just $19,880. Lease a 2017 Ford C-Max Energy for only $169 a month with zero down.
This amazing vehicle gets up to 95 mpg.
Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2017 Ford Fusions, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers. SMC is where you want to be in August for the largest selection and massive discounts on new Fords. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley and all of Central PA for over a century.
Exact energy leases for 36 months with zero down, tax and tags included, 10,500 miles per year. See dealer for details.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yes, Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Like, Purdy Insurance, they've taken care of the needs of the Valley for decades. You need to have a great relationship with your insurance people because, you know, they're the ones that are going to be able to guide you to get the right coverage at the right price. They're the ones that are going to guide you when there's a problem and then you need help. And Purdy Insurance checks every box for me. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. Special pricing, by the way, on home, auto, insurance for firefighters. I mean, they carry everything. Great group. All right, let's get to this day in sports history. Then we will turn our attention to Matt Leon in Philadelphia. We'll talk some about the Eagles and a little bit about the Phillies. This day in sports history, in 1903, Jim Jeffries defeated Jim Corbett in the 10th round to retain his world heavyweight title in San Francisco. 1936, the first basketball competition for a gold medal held at the Olympic Games in Berlin. The United States beat Canada 19-8. 1937, the Tigers and St. Louis Browns, who are now the Orioles, set an American League record for most runs scored in a doubleheader with 36. 1958, Vic Power of the Indians stole home twice in the same game. 1959, the first meeting was held to organize the American Football League, the Foolish Club. Let's say the Boston Patriots, New York Titans, Houston Oilers, Buffalo Bills, Denver Broncos, Oakland Raiders. They were actually supposed to be in Minneapolis, but then the NFL put a team there, so they went to Oakland. The Dallas Texans and the, yes, Los Angeles Chargers. They played in Los Angeles for 1 year, then they went to San Diego. Now they're back in Los Angeles. They were also the first group that, when it came time to negotiate a TV contract, they said, you know, let's take all the national TV money and split it evenly. It will give us all a chance. The NFL then found out about it, and then they said, you know what, we should do the same thing. It's been the formula that's really worked. Bob Gibson, no-hitter against the Pirates of the state in 1971. First no-hitter at Forbes Field in 61 years. 1974, NFL Players Association ended their seven-week strike. A charity softball game in 1976 for the Community General Hospital in Monticello, New York. The game was eventually called off due to weather after 30 hours. The score, Gager's Diners, 491, Bend and Elbow Tavern, 467. How about that? And then Pete Rose on this date, his 4,256th and final hit in a game against the San Francisco Giants. All right. Let's get to it here. Let's bring in Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, welcome back. It's great to hear you again.
Good to talk with you, Steve.
All right. What did you take at all about anything from the preseason game with Green Bay?
I don't look much past the first series, to be honest with you, and there was a lot to like in that. Carson Wentz, 4 for 4, rather, throws the touchdown pass to rookie Mac Hollins, who made an impressive catch and run. It was so impressive that it might have cost Jordan Matthews his job if they traded Jordan Matthews a couple days later. But past that, you know, I don't get too excited. I think the biggest thing is they get out of their first exhibition game without a catastrophic injury, and that's the most important thing in any of these preseason games.
How surprised was everybody by the Matthews trade?
I think surprised just at that there hadn't been much buzz about it, but I think when you take half a second and you think about it, I exaggerate that catch and run cost him the job, but Mac Hollins has impressed as a rookie. Nelson Aguilar, who this is as critical in all season as there's going to be in his career at this point, has looked good, and obviously you've got Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith as your starters. They have a lot of depth at the wide receiver position on paper, and they didn't have, not alone depth, but they didn't have starting corners, for the most part, legitimate starting corners. They make the deal to get Ronald Darby from Buffalo, and a guy who started for 2 years, had a great rookie season, was last year, but the Buffalo defense wasn't much as a whole, so as long as he's not hurt, I'm willing to look past that. And the early reports from camp are he looks great. in drills so far with the Eagles. So I think it was a little surprising that they were able to pull the trigger on it, but I think it's a trade that works for both teams. I know Jordan Matthews got hurt in his first practice, but he'll do a good job for Buffalo, be a consistent target underneath, and Darby fills a desperate need. It's rare in this league that you can get a legitimate starting corner that's, you know, going into his third NFL season. So the Eagles have done that, and now we'll see how it plays out.
All right, well, let's. I want to stick with Matthews for a moment. A lot of quarterbacks, when they really need something, there's a guy that they depend on. It looked like in his first year in the league, Carson Wentz, when he needed it, seemed to depend on Jordan Matthews. Is that accurate? Now where does it go?
Yeah, I would say so. They had a pretty strong bond off the field as well. I think Wentz drove Matthews to the airport after the trade. As far as where he goes now, I would my instinct would be Zach Ertz as far as a security blanket, the tight end. And I think, obviously, Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, they didn't, even though it's only for 1 year, they're paying Jeffrey a ton of money. So I can't imagine that they are not going to game plan heavily to force feed the ball in his direction. But as far as a guy that, you know, on third and four they need five, or, you know, a guy if something breaks down, I think that guy is probably going to be the tight end, Zach Ertz.
All right, you mentioned Darby. They need corners, no question about that. How much of an upgrade is it perceived to have him in there now?
Pretty significant. I mean, they really were scrambling at cornerback. They drafted a couple kids. Of course, one was the Sidney Jones kid who might not play at all this year, and if he does play, it'll be late in the season as he recovers from the Achilles. And I don't think there's anybody that doubts that he's going to be a starter once healthy, but that's probably not going to be until 2018.
Right.
So you were looking at Jalen Mills, who showed flashes last year, but he's a seventh-round pick, granted, out of LSU. And then, you know, you had Rasul Douglas, a rookie out of West Virginia who has shown some flashes at camp, but you're asking a lot. You'd be asking a lot going into a season with a seventh round pick 1 year and a rookie from the next draft as your starting corners, let alone, you know, if you get into slot corners and stuff like that. So Darby, I mean, he no reason to believe he doesn't go right to the top of the depth chart as a number one. I don't think anybody's ready to say shut down, but a number one legitimate guy that you can match up with another team's top receiver. And all of a sudden now, everybody else, it's like getting a number one pitcher in a rotation. All of a sudden, the rest of your rotation makes a whole lot more sense once you've got that guy at the top.
Is this really Aguilar's last stand in some ways?
I think so. I mean, you know, I don't think they're going to cut him, even if he was not very good this training camp, just because it makes more financial sense to keep him. But, I mean, if not, it's really kind of a, if not now, when. You know, this is a guy who was a first-round pick, and when he was drafted in the first round a couple of years ago, the thought process was that he was a first-round pick because, A, he was talented, and, B, he was a guy you could plug in and get protection from right away. And so this is not a guy that was drafted under the auspices that, well, he needs to learn a pro offense, or, well, he's going to need some time to develop. So you haven't gotten the production, and, you know, that's really he was supposed to be a guy that could help you right away. So I would imagine if he doesn't have some sort of an impact this year, this could be it. But conversely, you know, I think there's a possibility here that having guys like Smith and Jeffrey to kind of take some of the pressure off him, that he might be able to just go out there and play football. Because the problem with him, it's not talent, it's not route running, it's confidence, I think, for the most part, in, you know, in responding to pressure. And if he can get over the hump and maybe make a few plays, you know, without the world riding on it, might be able to grow from that. And then maybe you'll see some of the natural talent that that made him a first-round pick.
Matt, they brought in Nick Foles to be the backup quarterback, and I think he actually has the makeup to be a good backup quarterback, but he's been hurt. What's the latest word on him?
Actually returned to practice this morning for the first time in over 2 weeks. Yeah, it was one of those where at first, you know, they said elbow soreness, and you're like, you know, okay, you know, first couple of workouts, you know, guy getting back into the groove. Then it went like for 2 weeks, so you started wondering, you know, is there maybe something more? But he was back today. Doesn't sound like he's going to play in their second exhibition game on Thursday, but good sign today that he was out taking part in drills.
All right. We do have to ask you about the Phillies, and you say?
Getting better. I mean, they're watchable at this point. There was a point there through May and June where they were really, really unwatchable. There's more interest now because of the young players. Nick Williams has done a nice job since he's been promoted. Yeah. And now you've got Reese Hoskins up. They have Jorge Alfaro, the catcher, up. So there, even if they're not winning, there's a lot of reason to pay attention to see what you can see. And you're really seeing a lot of what we've seen the last few weeks. You're seeing kind of the diagram we thought we would see this season with the Phillies, where they get a pretty good starting pitching yeah. performance just about every night, not dominant, but enough to keep you in the game. And, you know, they've hit the ball better for the most part over the last month or so. And, you know, as a result, they're a much more competitive team. I mean, still got a lot of work to do, but it'll be interesting these last couple of months to watch, you know, Nick Williams get another 150 at-bats, Hoskins get 150 at-bats, and start to get a feel for what they have, because, you know, that's these last couple of months are probably going to determine where they start spending money in the offseason as far as where they think they have holes that they are not going to be able to fix in the farm system.
Right, and that's, I believe, every time I saw Hoskins, he was exclusively a first baseman. Did they do a lot of work with him eventually in the minors to get him to at least have some outfield skills?
Well, they started him 3 games.
Okay, that's nice. That's expensive.
They gave him 3 games, and I was actually at the game. I went up there and saw the last game he played at AAA. And, you know, he caught all the balls that were hit to him, but talking to guys up there, they said he did a nice job as far as catching fly balls, but there was not a play that he was challenged to make, you know, where a ball in the gap, he has to cut it off, turn, throw, stuff like that. I mean, he's a first baseman. This left field thing is just to get him up in the big with Aaron Altair hurt. They've got, you know, an opportunity to get him consistent at that. He is a first baseman. You know, I don't think that's going to change. So it's just a matter of they've got to make a decision at some point, him and Tommy Joseph. You know, and Tommy Joseph's had a nice year, but I think Tommy Joseph has probably already pretty much hit his ceiling. I think Hoskins has the potential to be a much more versatile offensive threat. I would be shocked if they don't go in the direction of Hoskins, but it's a matter of if and when they move Joseph.
My friend, thank you as always.
Appreciate the time.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Good talk about the Eagles and the Phillies. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Got the gang all back together. Great to have you with us. On this Monday, we're with you tomorrow. Then Wednesday, we're off. Then Thursday, Friday. Let's see. Marshawn Lynch and Michael Bennett both sat this weekend for the national anthem, whatever it was. And I think everyone knows how I felt about this. I honestly don't care what you do. I really don't. I could care less. Right? I know what I do. I stand, I put my hand over my heart, and that's what I do. If you want to sit, go ahead and sit. I'm not going to tell you to stand up. I'm not going to, you know. I've said that from day one. I have my standard, you have yours. Yeah, if that's your standard, fine. I'm not going to sit there and tell you to do something else. You know, all I know is that in my family, if my late father was still alive and I sat during the national anthem, I can tell you right now.
and here at the play-by-play, Kevin Jones.
Yes. Oof. He had to kick my butt. I mean, it's just no, you know. But that's, you know, but that's the way it is. And, you know, but if he wants to sit, I don't care. Does TV need to cover it? No, but you've got a lot, you know, but TV is a very simple lot these days. You know, they're looking for anything to draw interest to something. So they do it. Okay. You know, there's still a game to be played, and that is the reason that TV's there for the game. He sat. So what? Fine. Have a good one. You know, stuff like that doesn't bother me. I don't care. You know, it's magnified beyond words. All right, it's magnified. I'm like, well, it's not magnified if people don't care about what they're doing. A lot of things I care about. It's a long list of things I care about. Okay, a long, long list. Right, I think as some people know, for example, my daughter got married in June. She's living in Guam right now. Sort of care. Marshawn Lynch sitting, don't care. Okay? Really. Oh, Michael Bennett, Marshawn Lynch sat, don't care. Daughter lives in Guam, care. So there's a perspective that comes into play here. You know, and again, and I've said this once, I've said it a million times. News people shouldn't cover sports, and sports people should not cover news. I don't care what anybody says. I get so uncomfortable listening to the news people explain a sports situation, and I get really uncomfortable when I'm watching sports people explain a news situation. Okay, you're experts in certain areas. You've got a level of competency in those areas. Seeing a lot of crossover now from people who think they can do all. Well, you can't. Can't do all. Right? It's not good to do a job with where a little knowledge is very dangerous. Oh, wait, that's the premise of the show. Hold on. Let me rephrase that.
Take two. We'll scratch that from the podcast. Right.
What's the theme of your show? The Stockholm Syndrome. No, I'm just kidding. What's the theme of your show? A little knowledge is very dangerous. Wait, scrap that.
It's like you're voicing a movie trailer.
Scrap that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, look. I mean, these are the stories we get these days. Spieth favored over Rory and DJ to win 2018 Masters. Really? Really?
On the day after the, I mean, the PGA Championship ended less than 24 hours ago.
Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to read that story.
It's kind of like watching ESPN after the national championship game in men's college basketball, and they kind of go around the desk real quick to finish the post, to finish the last post hit on SportsCenter. Okay, who's going to cut down the nets next year?
It's unbelievable.
Let's just savor what we just saw.
Hey, by the way, Frank Broyles passed away, age of 92. Suffered from Alzheimer's in his latter years. Unfortunately, he lost his wife in 2004 to Alzheimer's, same year I lost my dad to Alzheimer's. From 57 to 76, won the national championship in 64, went 144, 58, and 5, and won 7 Southwest Conference championships, and was on the air with Keith Jackson for years on college football. Frank Broyles was 92. Yeah, boy, it's tough seeing so many of the great ones pass.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.